Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Ladies and gentlemen, make some noise.
It's 10 o'clock and time for us to make some history. Kind of. It's the pairing of two men, each with their own individual take on the Atlanta sports scene.
I'll take that.
For the next 4 hours, enjoy what we hope will be a great pairing of sports talk juggernauts. Well, that's what we're hoping for, at least.
Wow, you're handsome.
Durr.
Now, it's Andy and Randy. Andy Bunker.
I'm the first place individual.
And Randy McMichael.
You are that.
Just make sure you don't touch that dial, then we'll be cool. Touch it, then use a fool.
On Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Yeah.
Good morning and welcome in Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a Thursday. My name's Andy Bunker. That's Randy McMichael. Good morning, Randy.
Hey, what's happening?
How you doing?
I'm doing great, man. I'm just enjoying my Thursday commute. It was great. No, not a lot of traffic. Got to hang out in the bullpen with you guys. Got some abology going that it really didn't need. But other than that, I'm cooling.
We discovered before the show, I mean, everybody has their own personal boundaries, I suppose. And some people don't have any. Abe's one of those people. He has no personal boundaries. But we found, like, the line between kind of you and me. Like, where I will stop, but you won't when it comes to telling people stuff.
Yeah.
And it was just really nice.
Yeah.
Because everybody needs a friend like you who's willing to maybe say exactly how everybody feels.
Yeah.
And I'm, you know, I don't know why, walking around worrying about people's feelings and all kinds of stuff like that.
I worry about people's feelings.
And I know you do, too.
Yeah.
But you mostly worried about people's feelings that you know, really care about.
Yeah.
Family.
But it's, this,
best friends.
When you are looking to
have Stinky, of course.
Yeah, my man Stank. But yeah, you're like, hey, man, shut the blank up. All right? And you should have said that because you didn't want to hear anymore.
You're right.
You told him you didn't want to hear it anymore.
In my way.
In your way. And he kept going. So that's when you just break out that line, man, shut the blank up. and it could be, so, it ain't got to be mean. It's real calm.
But that's what's nice about having a partner like you.
Yeah.
Is you did it, and that was it. Now we're good. Now we can go back to planning for the show. I think that has to do, I don't know, maybe that has to do with personal comfort. Maybe it just has to do with who you are as a person. I'm not sure. But we got a couple different interesting examples of comfort level in terms of whether it's coaches or general managers or people that are in positions of power of our sports teams over the last couple of weeks. And I think one thing that you and I are generally pretty consistent about, Randy, is we like when athletes or coaches or general managers or team presidents or owners or whatever are honest. Like, that Dean Spanos thing yesterday was really funny because Dean Spanos came out and just sort of snapped and was kind of brutally honest about how he felt about the situation. Now, he may not have been telling the truth, but it was interesting because it was kind of an honest moment. I think we've been a little bit critical, or at least I have, a little bit critical of Dan Quinn over the last couple of weeks about not being, I don't know, as honest as everyone else is being about the season. I understand that Dan Quinn has to say what he's saying, right? Like, Dan Quinn has to still try to instill some sort of confidence that there is a chance in the second half of the season and we're a second half team and all that sort of stuff. So when he says this, I understand why he says this.
I told the team, good thing we're a second half team because so often we've been behind that, hey, let's go ripping to get back.
And I get it. I mean, you got 8 games left. It's the bye week. You've got to keep that confidence alive that maybe you'll go 8-0 and everything because mathematically you're still alive. And you want everyone to feel that way until it's no longer true, and then you probably come up with another positive message, which I get. But I also really enjoyed hearing from Lloyd Pierce last night, and because you watch the game, right?
Mm-hmm.
You watch the Hawks go out there and put that stinker of a performance on the court last night.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why they looked the way they looked, but
they
looked
team.
Awful.
I bet you they're going to be a couple more of those.
Lloyd Pierce said the exact same thing this morning.
Because he said the same thing to us,
yeah.
Andy, when we went up there for media day and we were talking to him. He said, this is a young team. They're going to have nights like that. And then Who's the coach over there throwing chairs? Man, get the hell out of here with that, man. Yeah, that don't motivate a professional. Are you throwing chairs?
It was unusual to see that.
Come on, man. Miss me with that.
Trae Young's reaction to it was pretty funny, though. Oh, if you haven't seen the video yet, I don't remember which assistant coach it was, but somebody smacked a chair down. It was Melvin Hunt? Okay.
You got young guys. Those type of things are going to happen when you have a team made up of all these young players. You're going to have turnovers. You're going to have bad performances. It's just what it is when you're a youth player playing in the grown man league. You got a whole bunch of them.
No doubt about it. No doubt about it. And I think that it would be really easy to just come out and sort of spin it that way, right? And be like, yeah, you know, there's still some good stuff to take out of it. And, you know, it's a learning process and all this. And Lloyd Pierce didn't do that. He was asked last night if there are any positives from the game, and he said this.
That the game is over.
I mean, come on.
That's the best thing. I didn't know how to speed the game up. He called two timeouts in the fourth quarter. I'm looking at him like, well, you don't need to sub. Just let it go. Somebody's going to foul in the next couple seconds. That's the positive. This game is over, and we don't have to worry about it anymore.
I love it. He's 100% right. There was also an interaction with a reporter where the reporter was like trying to convince him that there were positives from the game. Right. He's like, no, well, you know, Jabari Parker had an Lloyd's like, no, man, no. No. There's nothing positive from the game. The good news is it is over and we don't have to think about it anymore. And it felt refreshing. Like, it's refreshing to hear that kind of honesty. Like, is that personality? Is that why you do that? Is it comfortability? Like, is it just Lloyd Pierce sort of knowing that he can be honest about that right now? And there's no repercussions for saying you had a bad game.
Right.
But it was just nice. It was nice to hear him be so brutally honest about how bad that basketball game was last night.
I mean, because the one thing about coaches, there's so many different styles of coaching. You know, and some guys are like Lloyd Pierce. But, I mean, you saw what kind of performance it had to be to bring that out of him. I mean, he's not you know what I'm saying? Because we've met Coach Pierce and everything. He's laid back, chill type dude. You know, and he's hands-on and everything with all these young players. And then you got Dan. Dan is a players coach, and he's not going to sit there and do that like that. But you have some coaches like Bill Belichick. We didn't do anything right. Nothing was good. I mean, is that what you want from Dan? Because when they were going to the playoffs and won the Super Bowl, and went to the Super Bowl, he was basically the same guy.
The exact same.
So because you're losing, it's a problem now.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Because you're losing now, it's a problem.
Exactly.
And everybody wants him to holler and throw stuff, but that's not who he is. Right. And being who he was got you to a Super Bowl.
Consistency is probably the most important thing, right? When it comes to leadership.
Yes.
And you're absolutely right. I mean, all the stuff that Dan Quinn was doing and saying in 2016 is the same stuff that Dan Quinn is doing and saying now.
Right.
But they're 1-7.
Exactly.
And as we've said multiple times over the last couple of weeks, everything that you do is viewed through the lens of 1-7, which means it's going to be bad.
That's what I say. Nobody don't want to hear that.
Right.
Yeah.
But true enough. I mean, being consistent is the most important thing, and I think that's true of Lloyd Pierce, too. Like, he's just going to be bluntly honest, whether it's good or bad or whatever. Like, last night or two nights ago, after they had the win that they had against San Antonio, his first comment was, Trae Young's good. That's my opening statement.
Yeah.
Just bluntly honest and kind of funny and great. But the thing that's interesting, I mean, there's a couple different interesting things here as we sort of get to another person of leadership in this conversation, is what happened with Alex Anthopoulos yesterday. I guess he's in trouble.
Damn it, Alex!
I'm not sure. I know that the Major League Baseball Players Association is asking that they look into the comments that Alex Anthopoulos made yesterday. Because I think comfortability in your job is a really good thing. And if you're doing well, you're going to have comfortability in your job. Maybe that's why Lloyd Pierce felt comfortable saying what he said last night. Maybe not. Maybe it's his personality. Maybe Dan Quinn isn't super comfortable in the situation right now, and he feels the need to sugarcoat or look on the bright side. Or maybe that's just his personality. I'm not going to claim to know Alex Anthopoulos particularly well. We listened to Alex Anthopoulos' quotes all the time, had a chance to interview him a couple times, but I don't know who he is.
Right.
But the quote that he gave on the conference call earlier this week about communication with other general managers and talking about free agency, it's definitely a comfortable statement. Potentially too comfortable.
He's feeling himself.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's feeling himself.
Because we all know what Alex Anthopoulos said. I'll read you the quote in case you don't know what the story is. He said, quote, every day you get more information. We've had time to connect with 27 of the clubs. Obviously, the Astros and the Nationals being in the World Series, they were tied up. But we had a chance to get a sense of what the other clubs are doing, to look to do in free agency, who might be available in trades. That's good. I want Alex Anthopoulos to be doing that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we know that Alex Anthopoulos is doing that. You're probably not supposed to say it.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. He was feeling himself, man. But, I mean, again, What's the worst that's going to happen? We don't know. So when it first came down and we're having our text exchange between the show, and the first thing I said was, are they going to take Ronnie away? You know, just joking. But, you know,
well,
they took the other kid away last time. But that's what I'm saying. And it was more just having fun with it. But I don't know what's going to happen, you know, because this is something that goes on in sports, man. We know collusion goes on. The thing about collusion is you got to prove it. Can they prove it? And but the thing what he did more than anything was he gave the PA ammunition.
He did.
He gave him ammunition because we've all seen what's been going on these last couple of years when you talk about free agency as far as these players getting these later contracts and things like that. But, I mean, I don't see anything that to the fact where the Braves are going to be punished for this. I don't see that.
I wouldn't think so.
I don't see that.
I don't know how you could be. I don't know how that works. I don't know how you enforce stuff like that.
But all that's going to do now is it's going to shine a light on him where the people are going to watch out now. You know what I'm saying? Like, would you say he's like the poster boy for it now? Because we haven't heard this from any other GM yet.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And so that's what I'm saying. That was my biggest issue was I've always wondered, why do you do stuff for attention? You know what I'm saying? He knew this was going to get attention. He could not. He is too smart of a man to not know that what he said was not going to garner attention.
Do you think so?
I think so.
Because I haven't heard it. You can't be that smart of a man like he is
and not realize that if that quote was going to have some backlash to it. And then you try to rebuttal and it's getting more backlash.
Oh, unless you get too comfortable. And that's what it seems like to me, because I'm with you. Alex Anthopoulos is very smart.
Yeah.
There's no question about it. And he's a public figure, and he speaks to the media all the time, and he's careful with his words and all that kind of stuff. But again, I don't know him well enough to know. Like, when Nick Saban says something that gets backlash, Nick Saban purposely said what he said for you to react to it.
Correct.
Like, he knows exactly how he's playing the media.
Right.
That's not how I read this. I read this as somebody who is so comfortable doing what he's doing,
right,
which every general manager is doing. Every general manager is talking to other general managers about free agency, about trades, about who could be available, about all the things that you want. Like, I'm glad Alex Anthopoulos is doing this, but you're not supposed to talk about it. It's like Fight Club, you know? It's the first rule about collusion. You don't talk about collusion.
You don't talk about it. But again, I'm not saying he did it on purpose, but I'm just saying he could not have known. He couldn't have been like, oh, ain't nobody gonna say nothing. Come on, man. Come on, Alex.
I honestly don't know. It felt like someone who's so comfortable doing what he's done. That's like, of course I'm gonna say it. You never been like that before, where you just got a little too comfortable, you said something.
Come on,
then you had to walk it back.
No, you know I'll walk back.
Oh, I've had to do that many times.
You know, I'm gonna say it.
I'm just kidding. My bad. I didn't mean that. Yeah. I'm not colluding with other general managers to keep the salaries low on my team or my payroll down. All right, we'll come back. We'll get into what's trending. A lot going on. We'll take a listen back to some of what happened last night in the Hawks game. Listen a little bit more to Lloyd Pierce as well, and a prediction.
Man, LSU, you're in 31-28. LSU.
Whose prediction was that? We're also going to talk to Eli Gold, the Alabama Crimson Tide play-by-play man at 1040 as well. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, 92.9thegame.com.
Man, LSU, you're in 31-28, LSU.
Are you and Julio talking about that at all?
I'll tell Julio right now. I got LSU all the way.
You are outmanned in that room.
Oh, in the room, yeah, you're right. Yeah,
in the room with Ridley. And
you got me. I just go get Debo out of the linebacker room, man.
That's Russell Gage yesterday with Paul Crane talking about the LSU-Alabama game this weekend. We're going to talk about the LSU-Alabama game this weekend coming up in 20 minutes with Eli Gold.
Oh, Eli.
The play-by-play man for the Alabama Crimson Tide.
Don't call him Mr. Gold because he's always get on me about that.
Okay.
Yeah, don't know.
Why,
Eli.
Is that his dad's name?
Yeah, I was like, hey, thank you, Mr. Gold. It's Eli.
Okay, so, I'll call him Eli.
Yeah, make sure you call him Eli.
I've been told that we're going to have to be very quick and careful with the questions that we ask because Eli likes to give long answers.
Oh, yeah, Eli can go now.
Okay.
Eli can go.
So, I mean, it's unfair because generally I ask the first question.
Uh-huh.
So to say who could get more questions in. But if we set an over-under at 1.5 for both of us, do you think we can both hit the over?
No.
You don't think both of us can get two questions in?
No.
It's a 10-minute interview.
No.
All right. No. I'm going to try.
No, we're not.
And I'm not even going to ask, how are you? I'm just going to say, I don't even know what I'm saying. Hey, Eli, how's Tua feeling? I don't know where I'm going to start. But we'll talk to Eli Gold in 20 minutes. That was Russell Gage. Now, Russell has to be extra careful talking about picking LSU over Alabama in that wide receiver room because not only is he outmanned by Alabama guys, but his new wide receivers coach, Julio Jones, is also an Alabama guy. So
really?
Julio's got all the pull. I know. Julio's not actually the wide receivers coach. We got to the bottom of it. Who was it? Dave Brock?
Yeah, Coach Brock, yeah.
He's the wide receivers coach. Because Raheem Moore moved around. Now he's the secondary guy. They're just moving around over there. Yeah, just trying to keep tabs on who's coaching who.
They're just trying to shake things up and do something different, man. You got a second half, and they're determined to get this thing turned around, which is good. And it starts this weekend. Just saw that Ian Rappaport tweets out that Sean Payton expects Alvin Kamara to play this Sunday. So that's just another problem, another headache you got to deal with.
Great. That's fun. That'll make it easier. You were up there yesterday.
Yeah, I was.
You got a chance to talk to a lot of these guys. Well, some of these guys yesterday.
You got a chance to see a lot of the guys.
You got to see them.
Yeah. Yeah, I got a chance to see them. Yeah.
So you were up there when Matt Ryan was speaking.
Yeah.
In the scrum surrounding him. You were
right.
A part of that?
Yes.
The media scrum?
Yes.
Cool.
No. I was in the back. I was behind the cameras. I was just listening.
Oh, so you weren't actually in the scrum?
Oh, no.
Like, all the media guys were in the scrum, but you were...
I was back there, back chilling.
Slightly removed from the scrum?
Yeah, I was chilling.
Did you see any Timmys up there?
Yeah, I saw one. I saw one. I was like, this dude here. And I said it kind of... You know, Big J was with me, Big Jarvis. And I went over, like, look at Timmy over there. Jarvis damn near fell out because he knew exactly what I was talking about. But, yeah, I mean, it was cool to be up there. I got to see some things. I got to see Trufant running around a little bit. Don't know if he's going to, I don't know what his status is or whatever, but he's getting his jog. You saw, because I always say the key when you're in a situation like this as far as record-wise is what do you do after practice? Do you stay after? Do you do all the little things that you did when you were 0-0 or 1-1 or something like that? All the guys are still there. You see Grady getting his conditioning in after practice, running gases. You see Ricardo Allen doing some things. The mood is still upbeat. Right? And that's what I like about when being up there when I got to see him was you could still tell that the guys are still bought in and everybody's bouncing around having a good time.
That's what I felt like every time I've been around him still. I mean, as the South this season is gone, it still feels pretty connected up there, which is good. And hopefully that remains true. And hopefully they run off a couple wins in a row so that can remain true. I do have to wonder if at some point, maybe when mathematically the argument can no longer be made,
it's
if that changes
pride.
A little bit. I have no idea.
Then it's all about pride. Yeah. It's all about pride.
You got to play for something.
You got to play for something, dude. Because, I mean, you just can't be out there going through the motions. That's when you get hurt.
Yeah, that's exactly when you get hurt.
We just showed up. And I think we had a young approach to tonight's game. We just didn't care. We didn't have the care factor today. And I think that's just a teachable moment because it's our first back-to-back. And this is where you really got to grind and dig in. And we failed.
Yeah, that's Lloyd Pierce last night talking about how poorly his team played against the Chicago Bulls. And boy, did they.
They played bad.
113-93 doesn't even really tell the whole story. It was bad, and it was bad quick, and it continued to be bad. Trae Young was pretty awful last night. 9 points. Only 3 assists. He had 4 turnovers. Jabari Parker was good again, but that was about it. Bruno Fernando had some flashes.
No. Jabari wasn't good either. He just scored points.
Yeah,
he just scored points. Yeah. Right? I mean, that was a complete, total bad just effort by those guys. And listen to Coach Pierce coming in this morning on the morning show with John and Hugh. And he said, you talk about these young players, they got to play better. You know what I'm saying? But you know that this is what's going to happen when you have multiple young players playing the major minutes that he has these guys playing. You got mm-hmm. 3 starters in your starting lineup that are 2-1-1, you know what I'm saying, as far as years in the league. And they're starting to play like, and Trey is an exception. He had a bad game. But Cam can't be in the starting lineup and play that bad. DeAndre Hunter, you can't be that bad and be in the starting lineup. You got to get some contributions. But it's going to be a lot more games like this because this team is young, all right, and they're still learning their way, and they're learning on the job.
I thought the Bulls did a nice job on Trae Young as well. Thomas Satoransky, I didn't know he could play defense like that. He's a little long, so he gave Trae some trouble, but they brought double teams from different directions. They almost had like a spy.
He wasn't going to beat them.
No, no. Trae dropped 50 on him or 49 on him last year.
Yeah, he wasn't going to beat
And like 17 assists, and they were like, we're not letting that happen again. And they very clearly had a defensive game plan against him, which I thought was a pretty effective defensive game plan. I'll say this. I mean, I know they won the other night without John Collins. Sure felt like John Collins would have helped last night.
He would have helped.
A lot of Vince Carter playing 4, which I don't love.
Yeah.
I just think no offense to Vince Carter.
I think Vince Carter playing 16 minutes
probably isn't great.
I think he's playing too much. I do. But the thing about Vince is if you tell him to go in, he's going to go in. Because he wants to play. He said that he did not come back and just sit on this on the bench and be just kind of mentor in a sweatsuit. He knows that. And so, but they, the depth-wise, they don't have it right there.
You can't have 24 turnovers and only 30 made baskets.
It's not going to work.
You're not going to win very many basketball games that way.
Yeah. Love the city. Last year was a great year for me and the club winning a championship, and hopefully we can do the same again this year.
So that was Darlington Nagbe.
Man.
Before the season last year. And if you remember, there was a little bit of tension before the season last year with Darlington and his contract and all of that. I guess they got it taken care of, and He was phenomenal this year, as he is.
Right.
There's a report now that Darlington has been traded to Columbus.
Where he wanted to
so
go.
So he gets to reunite with a manager that he's played with before. And that sucks, because Darlington Nagbe is a vital member of this Atlanta United team. Arguably, I mean, Joseph is the most important. I know that. And, you know, you can make arguments after that. But what Darlington Nagbe is so consistently good every single game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know how you find someone to replace.
Like
Brian
just said, my ear, he was a glue guy, man.
He was.
And we knew something like this was rumored last year about him going back to Columbus, where, you know, I think his coach was there in college. I think he coached him at Kent State. I think it's, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, he did. Okay. And in Portland. But Caleb Porter.
But he's a, you know, yes, he's an Ohio guy. Wanted to go back up there probably with his family or whatever. And I thank him for his contributions here, because he was such a big part of what they did here in Atlanta. But you got to move on. Next man up. I mean, they tell me the depth over there at the academy, and they got guys that, you know, that hasn't played that need, they're gonna get, that are going to get more playing time. So, I mean, is this derail what we're going to do next season? No. No, it's going to be a big loss, but I'm sure they're going to find ways to kind of get a guy in there that might not be as good as Darlington, but you won't see as big a drop-off.
I don't think, unfortunately, though, that this is going to be the last thing like this happens this offseason.
We still got this whole thing with Gressel.
Because here's the problem. You know? With success, which they've had, everybody wants their credit, right? I mean, yeah, okay, great. We did great. I scored a goal and had an assist and a playoff win. You got to pay me. Unfortunately, in MLS, the salary structure is such that you can really only pay three guys big money.
Right.
You got your designated players, which Atlanta United already has, and they've allocated tons of money to those guys. You can really pay them whatever you want. And then everybody else is under this strict salary cap.
Yeah, but it's crazy because, you know, just looking at, you know, because I guess they're talking to some of the guys up there for Atlanta United, and talking to Brad Guzan. He says the negotiations are going well as far as the collective bargaining agreement. I don't know, but for some reason, that just does not seem fair. And if I'm a player in the MLS, I got a real problem with that right there, that you can only play three people and I'm out here contributing like that. I got a real issue with that.
Yeah.
But can the players afford to strike? No, they can't.
No,
they can't afford to. Yeah, I mean, you got to find some way to get this thing worked out, but yeah.
I think it was a fine rule when it was instituted and the MLS was what it was, when you're just trying to get big-name European guys to come over here for retirement.
Right.
Like, oh, David Beckham, we'll give him whatever he wants. It doesn't count against the cap, and then everyone else will be happy because he's David Beckham and they don't compare themselves to him. No, I mean, Julian Gressel has been a major part of what this team did, arguably as important, if not more important, than what some of the designated players did last season. I mean, I don't know if you could take Julian Gressel or Pity Martinez last year on a game-in, game-out basis. I might take Julian Gressel. Gressel got paid a fraction of what Pity gets paid because of the designated player rule. So, yeah, I agree with you. If you're going to have a legitimate league where everyone feels, you know, like they're treated equally and has an equal chance to earn,
mm-hmm.
you got to get rid of that thing.
Yeah,
or make it different somehow.
Yeah, I'm mad too, dude. I'm like, hold on, Pippen.
Hang on, I scored a goal and had an assist in a playoff game.
Grindhouse Killeberg in Decatur. This Sunday, our guys, Paul Crane.
Woo!
And Eric Douglas will be there starting at 11. It's the Bud Light Countdown to Kickoff. It's a live broadcast. Plus, it will be Atlanta Falcons cheerleaders there, and alumni. They're going to have prize giveaways. And, you know, we talked about them burgers already. Make sure y'all go over there and holler at that boy.
All right, Eli Gold going to join the show next. He's the Alabama Crimson Tide play-by-play man. We're going to try to ask as many questions as we possibly can. We'll see what happens. Right here on the Midday Show with Andy and Randy. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Welcome back to Andy and Randy, two knuckleheads that actually know what they're talking about. On 92.9 The Game.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the Midday Show with Andy and Randy here with you. 20 minutes away from getting to an NFL no huddle, top of the 11 o'clock hour. Plenty to get into there. Let you hear a little bit more of what Matt Ryan had to say from Flowery Branch yesterday. Also want to spend a quick minute top of the 11 o'clock hour talking about some Braves rumors. A big-name pitcher rumored to be in the sights of the Atlanta Braves. So we'll get to that coming up in 20 minutes as well. Before we do that, though, continuing to get ready for a really big weekend in college football, I've had a chance to talk to a number of different people this week as we get ready for Alabama and LSU. But very happy to welcome to the show Eli Gold, the Alabama Crimson Tide play-by-play man. Eli, how are you?
I am well. How are you guys doing today?
Doing good, Eli. Doing good. Always good to talk to you. And I'm going to call you Eli because you always get on me when I say Mr. Gold, so I'm going to say Eli.
There you go. Good man. Good man. You learn.
Hey, Eli, as we get ready for this game, and I know you're getting ready for it as well, obviously, a huge focus on the health of Tua Tagovailoa. Is Tua's health the biggest factor in this game, or is there something else that we should be focusing on as much?
Well, there are a lot of factors. That is obviously one of them, clearly. The fact that LSU has lost their one of their best linebackers, Michael Divinity, who is no longer on the ball club for whatever reason. That was announced back early in the week, on Monday, I believe. You know, there are other injuries that have been, you know, just nagging kind of stuff, nothing significant. And, of course, the ability of both teams and, you know, and you know, the LSU passing offense, which was 102nd in America last year. It's now second in America. You know, there are so many storylines, but of a concern nature, if that's the term you want to use. Obviously, Bama fans are most concerned about Tua's health, and LSU fans are likely concerned about the loss of Divinity at linebacker.
And Eli, earlier in training camp, you know, they Alabama lost probably their best defensive player in Dylan Moses. And when you look at they replace him now, these guys are five stars, but they're still young. How has the defense looked at you so far with these young players trying to replace such a great player in the middle of that defense?
Well, you make a great point. Plus, they also lost Josh McMillan.
Yeah, they did.
Both of those guys were on the preseason watch list for the Dick Butkus Award. So you're taking away two potential All-America linebackers, replacing them with freshmen. And one of those freshmen has to end up calling the defensive signals, which adds even more to the... Because when you're recruited by Nick Saban, or if you're recruited by Ed Orgeron, or if you're recruited by anybody, I don't care who it is, if you're in this league and you're recruited and you got a scholarship, you're good. So there's no question that the Bama linebackers are good. But like you say, the experienced. However, now we are eight games into the season, plus two off weeks. This is week 11 of the season. So there's been a lot of football played, and these guys have gotten better. Plus, I will submit that this Alabama defense, every day in practice, lines up against what is arguably one of the most potent offenses in America. So these guys are learning a lot in practice, not just on game day. Then you've got a healthy Anfernee Jennings on one edge. You know, you've got Terrell Lewis back and healthy on the other edge. So this is not the same defense that strode into Mercedes-Benz Stadium to open the year against the Duke Blue Devils. This team has come light years from week one, week two, week three. So, yes, is LSU's offense a concern? Certainly. I don't care who you are. You can be the best defense in America. They're going to be a concern. But this defense has improved dramatically through experience and through, you know, the return of Terrell and a healthy Anfernee. And so, yes, it's a little different than what it was earlier in the season.
Eli Gold joining us here on the WadeFord.com hotline, the play-by-play man for the Alabama Crimson Tide as we get set for a huge football game this weekend. Eli, when you were calling the 9-6 game back in 2011, would you have ever believed that we'd be getting ready for an Alabama-LSU game and both of their offenses would look like this?
No. But, you know, who knew how the game was going to evolve?
Right.
You know, the game of college football is different in 2019 than it was in 2011. So, no, I wasn't a sage or a seer or a soothsayer. I didn't have the proverbial crystal ball. No, I mean, those were teams. In those days, you had all these big guys. They did this very unique thing, both teams did. They went into a huddle. Remember those things? They went into an actual huddle.
A what?
Yeah. Then they turned around and they lumbered to the line of scrimmage and they played big boy football. And if your guy was better than his guy, one of you would end up on their caboose. But, yeah, I never saw that. But, of course, the game of football has changed so much. And that's where Nick Saban is so good, in that the Nick Saban offense has evolved. You know, the Blake Sims offense was nothing like the Coker offense, nothing like the Tua Tagovailoa offense, nothing like the John Parker Wilson offense. You know, I mean, nothing like the Jalen Hurts offense. Everything has changed. And that's one of the things we're also seeing from LSU with Coach O bringing in guys and adapting to the game of football as it now is and adapting to the athletes that he has.
When you look, we were talking earlier about the trench warfare, because that's where it's always been one, Eli. It's always been the offensive line versus defensive line, who can move each other out the line. When you look at this Alabama offensive line, they haven't run the ball the way that we're used to seeing it. Is it mainly because of the play calling, or is that offensive line not up to par like we're used to seeing it?
Well, you know, I guess it depends on what you see. I say you'd be crazy when you have Jerry Jeudy and the rest of those five outstanding wide receivers. I include John Metchie in that list. But when you have Jerry Jeudy and that type of a quality wide receiver group, arguably the best collection, not necessarily all the best individuals, but the best collection that we've ever seen in college football, why would you not throw to them on a regular basis? The running game has been a little different, certainly, but I think it's because there's been such stress on the passing game, and I don't mean stress, physical stress. I mean, they have been stressing it. They have been leaning or favoring the passing game. So I'm not terribly concerned. I mean, we've still seen Najee Harris, run well, and we've seen Brian Robinson run well. So, no, I'm not terribly concerned about that.
Eli, we appreciate the time. As always, have a great call on Saturday.
Thanks a lot, Eli.
Thank you, fellas. Good to talk to you.
Eli Gold there, the play-by-play man for the Alabama Crimson Tide. Huge game this weekend, obviously. And, I mean, it is interesting when you think back. 2011 yeah. feels like 25 years ago, doesn't it?
Yeah, man.
Given the way that these offenses play now.
But it's crazy because, Freaky were talking right before the handoff, and I'm still trying to decide who I'm going to pick in this game. But I was thinking, is Alabama still in LSU's head? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, every time.
How could they not be?
You know, like, they just, it seems like whenever they're riding high or they come into a game where you're looking at the college football playoffs and they're coming off and they're in the top whatever and they got to go match up against Alabama and Alabama just whips them.
Right.
But this is a different LSU approach that Alabama has not seen. And that's the interesting thing about it is because the one thing we haven't seen LSU face a lot of this year is a long-term adversity. And if they do get into that, some type of long-term adversity, does Coach O go back to his old ways? That's been the key so far this year for LSU. I know they're playing well, but Coach O has gotten out of the way.
Yeah, yes. And he's allowed the offense to do what it's done. That's a great question. And, I mean, I don't know. I think somebody's in your head until you do something about it, right?
Yeah.
Like, yeah, you score a lot of points against the other guys. Alabama comes in. This is just a little bit of a different situation. We'll get back into that in the college football corner in about half an hour from right now. I've got a quarterback question regarding that game for you as well, which we'll get into. NFL No Huddle to kick off the 11 o'clock hour after we talk about this Braves rumor and this big-name pitcher the Braves may be targeting in free agency. So don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.